Because we're going to Matthew chapter number 6. If you'll take your Bibles, let's go to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. And we're going to direct your attention to verse number 19. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 19. I have been blessed to be here this morning. The singing has been fantastic. Thank you, Brother Nathan, Miss Lauren, Miss Biber, for all of that. That's just warmed my heart. I can't wait to get everybody back where they need to be under one roof here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And we're trying to cooperate, and we understand the situation. But let me just say this, folks. We will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together for very long. We just won't. Because, you know, there's been tough times before in the history of the country and the history of the world. And you know what? One of the things that carries people through tough times is gathering together for worship in the house of the Lord. I was a little miffed at our governor when he listed originally churches as non-essential gatherings. Now, he's heard enough from us preachers that he changed that later on. But folks, this is not a non-essential gathering. Matter of fact, during times of crisis, this may be the most essential gathering that's happening. And so we'll be back together soon. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And here's a question. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll help this preacher as I preach and the listeners as they listen. Lord, I pray that this message will find its way to those who need it. Dear God, thank you for our church family that is tuning in together. And Lord, I look forward to the day when we're back under one roof worshiping you together the way it should be, the way it must be. And so, Lord, I pray until then, Lord, that you'll, Lord, help us to gather, get together in spirit and in heart. Bless the preaching of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you haven't noticed over the course of the last couple days, springtime has officially sprung. And I think in some ways, I feel that we need it this year more than ever. Winter has finally lost its icy grip, and the earth is greening and sprouting and budding right now. The frogs have crawled out of their mud-covered beds and now fill the night with their clattering croaks and their shrill serenades. Moles are molesting my yard, and flies are hovering near my front door, preparing for their summer-long mission to infiltrate my house. The smells have changed. The smell of fresh-cut grass, the smell of flowering fruit trees, and the smell of the perfume of pollen have us Hoosiers smiling and sniffling and smiling and sneezing and smiling and sniffling some more. But you know what? We'll put up with it because springtime's here. The sun warms the air and sweatshirts have been replaced by t-shirts, and there comes a feeling of new life and new hope because of a brand new season. And I just want to say this publicly. Thank God for springtime in Indiana. It's one of my favorite times of year. Now, spring brings the arrival of two Bible teachers back to our area. Two Bible teachers who left us late last fall and now returned to help us through a tough stretch. And we need their help. You say, preacher, who are you talking about? I'm talking about the fowls of the air and the lilies of the field. They've arrived. They've come back. It's springtime. So I thought I'd ask them to come to the pulpit and maybe help me this morning to preach the message. And so here I brought a lily. And you know what? Here we are 2 weeks from Easter. Doesn't that look nice? And then I had my wife find some songbirds. Now, obviously, these aren't real. These are here for decoration, but we've got a cardinal, and I want to say hello to my mother-in-law. That's her favorite bird. She's got red birds all over her house and decoration. Here's a blue bird right here. I'll try not to knock them off. And this one here looks like a sparrow, I think, and we've got it right here. Now, I will show you. I'm not going to use it, but my wife didn't know what I wanted for sure, so she also brought me this, all right? Now, there you go right there. Now, I'm going to tell you what's so super cool about this is that if you push the button, I was playing with this in my office, and so if you push the button, whatever you say to the bird, it will repeat back to you. For instance, hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, I interrupted. It was whistling, too. All right, well, it's going to do a little preaching. It'll say, for God so loved the world.
That he gave his only begotten son.
Oh, this is fun. That whosoever believeth in him. Did you hear it yelling? Should not perish.
But have everlasting life.
There you go. Now, if I used this one, no one would listen to any more of my message, and I would become so distracted playing with it. So this is a little too girly for Jackson, so I'm going to send this home to Adeline. So this is a gift for Adeline, and you give that to her from the preacher, and she can play with that until her brother breaks the head off of it, okay? And so anyway, we've got birds here, and we have a lily. You know what? Springtime has brought these back to us. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives two commands, one each, one for the lily and one for the birds. And what does he say? Look at verse number 26, Matthew 6:26. Behold the fowls of the air. Now, folks, these are red letter words. This is Jesus Christ speaking. If he tells us to do something as Christians, we're supposed to do it. So this is not a suggestion. He says, behold the fowls of the air. Then if you look at Matthew 6:28, he says in the middle of that verse, consider the lilies of the field. So we're going to take time to do both. Let's obey the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. So let's take some time to behold, that's the first word, and consider what these two springtime teachers want us to learn. Well, let's look back at verse 26, and let's first of all, behold the fowls of the air. Now, in this verse, the Bible tells us some things that we ought to notice about the birds or the fowls of the air or these spring songbirds that have made their way back to Indiana. The Bible says several things about them. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barn. So let's stop right there and let's notice that. Let's behold that, okay? Let's consider that. So what we've been told about them is that they do not sow and they do not reap and they don't gather up a harvest into the barns. Now, by the way, this is not an indictment against hard work. This is not a verse that a human being should come to and use as an excuse not to go to work, because what the Bible verse is saying here is this: the birds do exactly what God created them to do.
Can I say this? God didn't create the fowls of the air to sow. God didn't create the fowls of the air to reap. God didn't create the fowls of the air to gather a harvest into the barns. But they do every day exactly, think about this, what their God created them to do. You say, preacher, what do they do? What did God create them to do? Well, Romans chapter 1 tells us that all of creation speaks to the glory of Almighty God. So you know what they do? They're placed here to remind the world that there is a creator. And also, they spend all of their time thinking about this, just singing praises to God. So you know what the first thing it says there is they don't sow or reap or gather a harvest into the barns. You know why? Because God didn't create them to do that. And yet the Bible says this, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. So why does he feed them? Not to reward their laziness. That's not what this is talking about. He feeds them because they do exactly what their creator created them to do. And because they do what God has created them to do, God makes a promise that I will feed you. Now, folks, listen, you've never seen a sparrow. You've never seen a redbird. You've never seen a bluebird. Over here south of Terre Haute, standing there at the light where you pull into Walmart with a sign that says, please, I need food. You know what? God takes care of the birds. God feeds the birds. But you know why he does that? Because they do exactly what he's created them to do. Now, here's the question. We don't want to miss this. Look in verse 26. And there's a question at the end of that. Are ye not much better than they? So, well, wait a minute. What are we doing, preacher? We're beholding the fowls of the air. We're taking a minute to consider the fowls of the air. And you know what we learned about them? Hey, they may not sow and they may not reap and they may not gather. But you know what? God never created them to do those things. Every day they do exactly what God created them to do. They bear evidence of a creator and they sing the praises of God. Because of that, God says, hey, since they're doing what I've asked them to do, I'm going to make sure I take care of them. They never miss a meal. And God, the Bible even goes so far as to say that God knows when every sparrow falls. And so God loves them. But then the Bible teaches us also that mankind is much better, that's the Bible phrase, than the songbirds. Now, the songbirds are going to talk to us in just a minute, but one of the things that the Bible's telling us is that they are much better than we. And preacher, what does that mean? That means if you'll go back in the book of Genesis and you'll study the 6 days of creation, God spoke everything into existence and God made all of creation to bear witness of a creator and to point men to God and to encourage men to glorify God. But let me say this, on that sixth day, when God stopped to make mankind, he made something different. He spoke the birds into existence. He spoke the lily into existence. But when it came time to create man, then God's hands reached down from heaven and formed man out of the dust of the earth. And the Bible says, then God's lips touched man's lips and he breathed into his breath the breath of life. And watch this, man became a living soul. He was made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Folks, listen to me. Birds are beautiful things, but God didn't form them with his hands. Birds are beautiful things, and they serve a purpose. But you know what? God didn't breathe in them the breath of life. They don't have a living soul. They're not made in the image of God. And so what the birds are reminding us, hey, if God promised to take care of me, you're so much more important to God than we are. Don't you think he's going to take care of you? So, first of all, we are commanded to behold the fowls of the air. Secondly, in verse number 28, we're commanded to consider the lilies of the field. Now, the Bible tells us several things in verse 28, 29, and verse number 30 about the lily. First of all, the Bible says, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Watch this. Here's the first thing. How they grow. How they grow. I don't know about you, but I'm always surprised when I walk outside and there is our first spring lilies. One of the things about how they grow is, I can just tell you this, they grow fast. I've never caught them in the developing stages. Now, I know I live a busy life, and I know I don't go out every single day and look at where they're going to grow, but it seems like they aren't there. And then all of a sudden, I'll look over one day and they are there. And so you know what? They grow fast. Now keep that in mind because we're going to bring all this together. Remember, God says, I want you to consider, first of all, how they grow. Then he goes on to say this. It says, they toil not, neither do they spin. Now, why? Well, again, is this a Bible verse discouraging men to toil, to work? Is this a verse that's telling women you shouldn't spin, you shouldn't make clothes for your family? No, that's not what it's saying. That is not what the Creator created them to do. So you know what? They don't worry about it. You know why? Because that's not God's purpose for them. You say, preacher, what is God's purpose for all of creation? Well, we said it once, but let's say it again. To bear witness of the evidence of a Creator and to bring glory and honor to God. And so they do not toil or spin. And then it goes on to say this, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, they don't toil. You've never seen a lily apply for a job down at the coal mine. You've never seen a lily out disking in the fields. You've never seen a lily, you know, driving a UPS delivery truck. No, they don't toil, and you know what? They don't spin, and yet look at this today, folks. Look how beautiful that is. My wife brought this into my office, and I'll tell you what, every Easter, and Lord willing, we'll gather on Easter Sunday, but every Easter, we usually have the entire platform filled with these beautiful spring Easter lilies. And literally, folks, I will walk into the auditorium and the entire auditorium is perfumed with their essence. You know, I can honestly, I know I'm a country boy, but folks, didn't the Bible say consider the lilies? You ought to, the next time you get near one of these plants, just take some time and look at it. I mean, folks, listen, artists have spent centuries with canvas and paint just trying to reproduce what God created, what comes right out of straight out of the ground. I mean, folks, you can use all of the computer graphics you want to use, and you'll never top what God's made and what God's created. Solomon, the richest king that ever lived, who had more money than anybody's ever had, lived in a fancier palace than anybody's ever lived in. And folks, can you imagine what his walk-in closet contained? But you know what the Bible says? Solomon in all his glory. I'm talking about the day that he gives the State of the Union address. I'm talking about the fanciest party he ever threw. I'm talking about that day when he had the Queen of Sheba come and he dressed in splendor. The Bible says, go ahead, mankind. Do your best. But you'll never spruce up and be more beautiful than what you're looking at right here. Now, folks, we're considering the lily. Bible also says this, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So here the Bible says that they grow quick, and then the Bible says they're only here for a short time. And you all know that that's true. A lot of the spring flowers that come and bloom, you better enjoy them while they're here. Because it just seems like that sun will get a little hot, and next thing you know, they're drooping, and then we move on to the next thing. The flowers that decorate the spring field, in just a matter of weeks, somebody will come and chop them down, and next thing you know, they're baled and dried into hay and fed to animals. And you know what the Bible's reminding us? Hey, when you consider the lily, you know what? They got here quick. It seemed like overnight. And you know what? It ain't but a short time they're gone. And could I remind all of us folks that this life is a vapor that appears for a short time, then vanisheth away. You know what God's doing? He sent some Bible teachers here. He sent some birds here this morning to tell us some things. He sent a lily to come and teach us something. And Jesus said, listen, consider it. Yet in that short time, even though they're only here for a short time, let me emphasize this again. They do exactly what God created them to do. They remind the world that there's a God. And they bloom beautifully during the time they have so that they can bring glory and honor and be a proper reflection to their Creator. Now, what is it that our springtime instructors want to teach us in their annual appearance? What is it that Jesus wanted us to behold, wanted us to consider? I'm just wondering, if the songbird could talk, I wonder what he would say this morning. I wonder if he'd say something like this. Our Father sent me to remind you that he's still in control. He sent me to remind you to sing his praises no matter how bleak life may seem at times. I wonder if the bird would tell us this. God sent me to tell you that you're so much more valuable to him than us birds are. He created you in his image. We weren't created in his image. You were created in his likeness. And he has given you what we'll never have, an ever-living, never-dying soul. And if your heavenly Father will feed me, then, hey, he'll feed you. If he's going to take care of me, he's going to take care of you. If your heavenly Father takes note of every sparrow that falls to the ground, then he certainly knows how to take care of you. God's full attention is on you today. He's watching over you today. I wonder if the bird would say this, hey, I don't sow. I don't reap. I don't own a combine or a grain truck or a farm silo, but I've never missed a meal. Do you know why? I think the bird would say this, because I trust my Creator. I live by faith. Every day, I do exactly what God created me to do, and because of that, I'm not going to worry or fret or walk the floors at night, because you know what? God will keep his promises. And sometimes as a human being, and honestly, I'm human as anybody else, and there's times where I near despair, and there's sometimes that I worry when I shouldn't. There's sometimes I probably fret when I shouldn't, but you know, there's a part of Jerry Ross, and it's the faithless part of me, not the faithful, the faithless part of me that wants to argue back to these bird brains that are up here. I want to take issue with our feathered friends. You know what I want to say to the birds that seem so happy and so carefree? I want to say, hey, songbird, how in the world can you just fly around singing at a time like this? I mean, haven't you watched CNN this week? I mean, did you miss Hannity and Carlson and Huckabee? I mean, don't you know what's going on in the world? Come on, birds. What are you singing for? We're on home detention. They don't know anything about that. The world is being assaulted by a virus, a dreaded a coronavirus, as everyone seemingly curled up in a fetal position. I want to say to the birds, haven't you been paying attention to any of this? But if we could understand bird talk, I think maybe our bird friends wouldn't even answer us. Maybe it would just start singing all the way. My Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Maybe I get tired of the birds because I just can't stand this much optimism. Folks, have you noticed people just seem like that they are awfully happy about being mad? I don't know what to do. I walk into Dollar General, I walk in a store, I smile at people and they frown back at me. If I go over and try to say hi, they're measuring in their mind what 6 feet should be. And if I get too close, they kind of hover over their cart like I'm going to grab something out of it. But folks, listen to me, Christians don't deal with things that way. And I think the birds are looking at some Christians that are curled up in a fetal position and living in fear and say, good night. Don't you listen to us sing? But there's a part of me, that, again, the faithless part of me that wants to say, okay, birds, I've had enough of you. I can't talk to you. I can't talk any sense into you. You're just going to sit there and sing. So maybe I'll spend some time talking to the lily. Hey, lily, can you talk some sense into these birds? They don't seem to have a clue what is happening. I mean, surely you're concerned, aren't you? I mean, let me say it again. Panoramic, okay? Our governor has called up the National Guard. Citizens are ordered to stay at home. We're in the middle of a toilet paper shortage. I mean, folks, listen to me. Lily, listen to me. It's gotten so bad, they've closed the dining room of the White Castle. Now let that sink in, okay? This is a national crisis because they've closed the dining room of the White Castle. Now, seriously though, come on, Lily. People are losing their jobs. The stock market's hyperventilating, and schools are closed down, and hospitals seem to be overwhelmed. And come on, Lily, talk some sense into these birds. And if we could understand flower talk, I think the flower might say to the birds, "Hey, Would it be okay if we sung that second verse? All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see.
Folks, I think what I'm trying to say this morning is if the birds could preach and if the lilies could teach, I think they might ask us to take a look at some of the verses in this chapter. And I think they would say, okay, do you know why God's taking care of us? Because we're fulfilling the purpose for which he put us on this earth. We're obeying God. And because of that, we're not worried about a thing. Well, folks, it would be wrong for us to leave this portion of Scripture because, hey, we're not lilies and we're not songbirds. And maybe we ought to pay attention to what this chapter and this portion of Scripture is telling us to do. And by the way, I'm going to tell you this. If we're doing what the birds are doing, if we're doing what the lilies are doing, and we are obeying Jesus and doing exactly what he said to do, you know what? We ought to be able to sing like the birds. We ought to be able to just bloom like the flowers and be a positive influence in our community for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. There will your heart be also. And you know, I think Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to tell you some things to do, just like I told the birds, just like I told the flowers. First thing is, hey, Christian, isn't it time to get back to laying up treasures in heaven? You know what, folks? The Christians that are the most nervous are the Christians that have disobeyed this portion of Scripture. I'm just telling you, folks, if you're panicking over the stock market and what it does or what doesn't do, maybe you ought to reevaluate what the Bible's told you to do. I think it's okay to have a savings account. I think it's okay to plan a little for the future. I think it's okay to consider the ant and learn some things for him. I don't think it's okay that most of our effort goes into laying up treasures on this earth instead of treasures in heaven. Because what we're learning through all of this is, guess what? The treasures on earth, you know what? The devil can get to them. But the treasures in heaven, the devil can't touch them. How about verse number 24? What else did Jesus tell us to do? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Here's a command. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, folks, listen to me. This is a second command. Listen, you know why the lily was so confident? You know why the birds were so confident? Because they were doing exactly what their creator put them on earth to do. Are we doing that? And if we're not, we ought to be a little nervous. But the Christians that have confidence are the ones that have been laying up treasures in heaven, and they don't worry too much about what's going on here on earth. The ones that are confident, know, and have an assurance that God's going to take care of them are the ones who serve God instead of mammon. You know what, folks? I understand we all got to work for a living, and we have an obligation, men, to provide for our families. And I think we ought to be frugal, and I think we ought to be careful, and I think we ought to be sensible with what God has provided for us. But listen to me. Watch this. You cannot allow money and things, materialism, to become your God. Now maybe this whole thing's a reset button for Christians. Come on now. It's a reset button for Christians. Hey, what's really important to you? What do you spend most of your time, most of your life about? What is it that's got your attention? Have you become a servant of mammon, a servant of materialism? Have you decided it's more important to try to save and save and save your whole life so that you'll have a little nest egg for the last, 5, 10, 12, 15 years? And he said, you spend your whole life doing that? Wouldn't it be wiser to lay up treasures in heaven? What else does God command us to do in this portion of Scripture? Look, if you will, at verse number 33. How about this one? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what are we supposed to do? Well,
Let's look at the birds. Preacher, what are they supposed to do? Well, they're supposed to bear evidence of the Creator. They're supposed to sing praises to God. Guess what? They do it. And you know what? They've never missed a meal. You know what the flower's supposed to do? He's supposed to bear witness of a Creator. And he's supposed to, for the short time that God gives him, bring honor and glory to God and show us the fingerprints of a Creator. And he does it. And you know what? Because of that, Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of us. How about us? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Lay up treasures in heaven. Serve God and not mammon. Number three, put God first in your life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Watch this. Doesn't just say the kingdom of God. It says the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, folks, if this Bible teaches anything, it teaches Christians that we're supposed to live a holy life. And you know what? That subject of holiness has gone by the wayside. Too many churches got so much world in the church and so much church in the world that you can't tell one from the other. But I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. If you're born again and you're saved, you ought to find you a church that preaches all of the counsel of God. And you cannot preach this book on a regular basis and not deal with the subject of righteousness and holiness. And you know what? Grace teaches us that. It teaches us that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then if you will, look at the rest of that verse. It says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now watch this, and I'm done. But if you've done these three things, lay up treasures in heaven, serve God, not mammon, put God first in your life. If you've done these three things, then you know what? You can have the same confidence as the birds have. Because you know what? They're doing what God created them to do. And you know what? Because of that, they're not worried about what's going on in the world. They could care less about the stock market. They're just going to get up tomorrow and expect the Father to feed them and sing the praises of God. Listen, if you're doing these things, lay up treasures in heaven, serve God, not mammon, put God first in your life, then you know what? You can have the confidence of the lily. Because, folks, if you'll compare a lifespan, a human lifespan to eternity, we come and we go just as fast as a spring lily does. But you know what God says to those of us? Come on, Christians, those of us that have decided that heaven is real and it's worth investing in, and that God is real and it's more important than things. And you know what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness ought to be the first things in our life. You know what God says to us? Therefore, I say unto you, verse 25, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? You know what God says? He says at the end of verse number 31, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these. And you know what we can do? We can look at the last part of verse 33 and claim it. And all these things shall be added unto you. And we can grab a hold. Look at verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let me tell you who the nervous people are right now, folks. Lost people, and if you're lost without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it shotgun straight to you. You ought to be nervous every second of every day of your life, because you're one heartbeat, one breath from eternity. And you know what? You're living in such a way that God never intended you to live. You know what? God wants to save you. He wants you to be a child of God. He wants to take care of you. And you know what? He will. And you can be saved today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know who else is real nervous today? Christians who are not doing what God put them on this earth to do. Christians that are laying up treasures on this earth instead of in heaven. Christians, come on now, Christians who are serving mammon more than they're serving God. Christians who are not putting God and his righteousness first in their life, but they're walking around and talking and acting in such a way you wouldn't know the difference between them and a lost person. Now listen to me, folks. We want to claim the promises. We want to claim the promises of Matthew chapter number 6. We want some comfort from anxiety from Matthew chapter number 6. But God says, if you want to learn what I'm talking about, Jesus says, if you want to learn what I'm talking about, why don't you go sit down and behold the fowls of the air? Why don't you take a little bit of time and consider the lilies of the field? Why don't you learn some lessons from them?